As I begin this morning, just a personal word. I'm just so grateful to have each Sunday people up here with me as with the choir. I do know that at some point you're going to take a summer break. I'll still be up here by myself, but I just wanted to say I enjoy your company each week. The sermon title for this morning is one word, and that word is koinonia. Koinonia. And today is also on the church calendar is Trinity Sunday around the world. And I think you will see how Trinity and koinonia come together in the course of this message. The scripture readings, I will share them during the course of the sermon and not at the beginning. And so as we come to the message, let us be in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Lord, as we come to you now during this time of the proclamation of your word, we pray that you will speak to each one of us at our point of need. Lord, each one of us has an individual journey in our life that we take. That we take with others and we take with you. And so we pray in the particular circumstances that we deal with, each one of us, that you will speak to us. And we pray that prayer in anticipation of your doing just that. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Somewhere along the way in life, a child learns what a noun is. A noun, as you know, is a person, place, or thing. Person, places, and things, they are easy to describe. But ideas are sometimes difficult to describe. The word church is a noun. It can be described as both a place and an idea. When we explain church to our children, describing church as a place can be relatively easy. When you're driving in the car with a child, perhaps your grandchild, and they say, Grandma, Grandpa, what's that building? What's that building with the cross on top? And you can describe to them what the church is the best you can. You can go inside the church and show them the Bible and let them know that this book is very important to us, that this is God revealing God's word to us. You can show them the baptismal font. You can show them the Lord's table and tell them why those items are important. And that sort of helps them know what church is about. We will come today to have fellowship around that table. And we know what that's about. We know what it means and how important it is to people, not just here, but around the world. We seek through all of the programs for our children, through King's Kids, which meets on Wednesday afternoon during the school year, our preschool. We have a preschool and kindergarten here. We seek through our Sunday school to teach children about who Jesus Christ is, to help them memorize things like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, verses of Scripture, stories in the Bible that will help them garner truths that will nurture them throughout life, as we know they do us. Children, in knowing what church is like, can get to know their ministers. They can get to know the teachers at the church, especially in Vacation Bible School. They can get to know other people at the church. I remember growing up, there was a man named Ty Coppinger in our little church in Tennessee. And all the children knew Ty as the chewing gum man. He always brought every child a piece of chewing gum that you had to unwrap. And the children just ran to Ty every Sunday. It was great. That was church to me growing up, to see Ty on Sunday and to come together and to hear big words and to stand and say the Apostles' Creed. Ah, that was church for me as a child. Well, church is both a concrete and an abstract idea. Church, perhaps, however, at its very nature, is really an experience. It's an experience. Church Of course, it cannot be handed from one person to another like a baseball or a baseball glove. Church cannot be given away to another person. The experience of the church cannot be taught like mathematics is taught or like Spanish is taught to someone. Church is an experience. Which brings me to the main point of the message today early on. The earliest Christians, they used a very special word to describe church. There really wasn't a word for church, and so they used a word that told about the experience of church. And the word the early Christians used comes from a Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia. Koinonia, again, is not translated as church. Rather, koinonia describes that idea, that experience, which is the church. Now, the scripture readings. The scripture readings for this morning, they all contain the word koinonia. And this is sort of a test. You'll have to listen to the Word of God and discover which word comes from that Greek word, which English word comes from that word koinonia. Listen first from Acts chapter 2. I'm reading only two verses, verse 41 and 42. And here's a hint to find koinonia. Koinonia comes in the second verse. So listen to the Word of God. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Now here's the next reading. The next reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Now the word in some translations for koinonia is translated partnership or sharing. I'm using the King James Bible because here it uses the same word in the first and third readings. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And finally, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Now here in this reading from God's Word, the word koinonia appears four times. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light and He Himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise be to God that it does. And so how do you describe the experience of the church? Not the place, but the idea. And what we discover from the scriptures is that the New Testament uses the word koinonia to give us the word fellowship. Fellowship means koinonia. It's also translated, as I said, in some Bibles as partnership with one another in Christ, or sharing with those who belong to Christ. Sharing, partnership, fellowship. Koinonia. Some years ago, I was introduced to a book by Robert Coles entitled The Spiritual Life of Children. Now, Coles is a Harvard child psychiatrist, and he writes out of deep faith convictions. And in his book, he tells about asking children how to share stories with him and to draw pictures about themselves and about God. And in his book, he tells about talking with a young girl from Mississippi. She was showing him a picture that she had drawn of herself. And the little girl said to Coles, "That's me in the picture." And then she added, "God made me." When I grow up, she said, Mama says I may not look like I do now. That's okay. But Mama says I also may not like over time how God made me. But I always must remember, says Mama, that it was God's idea, that God thought me up. And so when I draw a picture of the Lord, it's a really big picture, because the Lord has to be really big, because he made everything and he made me, says Mama. It's a wonderful story. What Cole is talking about is fellowship. Fellowship that the little girl is already establishing with God, and fellowship in Christ that the little girl has with her mother. Cole says this about the spiritual life of children: as we listen to children tell stories, as we listen to children tell us what their drawings mean, so it is we connect with one another, that we teach, that we heal, and we affirm one another. When we connect with one another and we connect with God, koinonia occurs. Just this last week, as school ended, so did our Wednesday King's Kids program for this year. King's Kids takes place as part of our Wednesday afternoon Northwood Child Care program. We offer care for children that come from Lila Davis Elementary. We offer care for them before school and after school. Now, you should remember this, because it shows how we are growing from strength to strength, little at a time in different areas. But during COVID, that program totally closed. Totally closed. In a given year, the preschool program equals about $100,000 to our church budget. We don't make much money off that program. Most of it goes to pay for counselors and the teachers that assist in that before and after school program. It's a mission of the church. Even if it breaks even or loses a little bit, we would have that program, and we have. And last fall, I am so grateful to Roxanne Finio. She is our director of our preschool, and she gave tours and received telephone calls from parents looking for child care before and after school, and almost single-handedly, she put that program back together for us. It was every other day Roxanne was coming to me, and she would say, what about this? Do you think we can stay open another 30 minutes for this family or that family? Or how should we work the program? How should we cost it out based on all of this? It returned, totally closed for a year, to 50 students every day. It was amazing. I'm grateful to Carly Wright. She's our children's director, and she works in that Northwood Child Care program. She's wonderful with kids. But she works with the volunteers who have helped specifically for that Wednesday afternoon King's Kids program, in which the kids learn about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And the King's Kids program is just one of the many ministries here we use to help teach children the meaning for the word church, and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And koinonia is how children and adults discover deeper meaning for the word church in their lives. Koinonia, you see, is not just about that King's Kids program and how it teaches children through music on Wednesday afternoons, nor is koinonia just recreation or crafts or refreshments or learning the Bible. All those things are part of our King's Kids program, but koinonia is what takes place when we discover what it means to be in fellowship with God and one another. Koinonia, you see, takes place when we experience God as a loving Father, when we experience God as revealed in Jesus Christ, and koinonia occurs when we have a relationship with Father, Son, and God's Holy Spirit, who is God's presence constantly with us. Koinonia. And here's another point then. The tasks that are done on Wednesday afternoon with King's Kids are not as nearly as important as the relationships that are built with them and the values that are transmitted to them through the scriptures, the word that they study and live out in recreation and arts and crafts and music. It's not just a program for children. Koinonia describes people who seek to be in fellowship with one another and in fellowship with God. I want to say to you this morning, I am so grateful for those times in my life, in this church and other churches, when I have experienced over the years true koinonia, the partnership, the fellowship that I have with others in Jesus Christ and with God. It's the kind of fellowship the Apostle Paul describes in those readings that I shared with you this morning. And I invite you today as you go from here to think about the experiences you have had in fellowship, which I call koinonia, and the Bible calls it that. What experiences of fellowship have led to your enduring faith over the years? What are those opportunities you seek out for koinonia? I was thinking this week of the times that I have traveled to places like our youth are this week, to Montreat or to Cedar Kirk, or conferences around the country, or places and trips around the world that I have been with Christians and experienced koinonia. There's one time, in fact, that I remember vividly that took place 40 years ago this summer. Yes, I can think back that long. But I remember it was 40 years ago this summer, June the 10th, as a matter of fact, 1983, when I attended my first General Assembly meeting of the Presbyterian Church. It was held in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was a historic gathering because the Northern and the Southern Church in that 1983 assembly, they were seeking to reunite after 122 years of division. They had divided during the time of the Civil War, as all denominations, all Christians had done so during the Civil War between the North and the South. I drove down to Atlanta from Tennessee. I had just graduated from college in Tennessee and was about to begin Columbia Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, which is just next to Atlanta. And when I arrived at the assembly, I was glad to be there to kind of explore Atlanta. I would be there again in a few weeks for seminary, and yet I was there by myself. I did not know a single person at that assembly. I had learned over the years to distrust the leadership in the Presbyterian Church. The leaders in my home church where I grew up, they were skeptical of the leadership, and they read a magazine that's now out of print, out of business, called The Presbyterian Layman. And it always had a story to tell, to be wary of that reunion that was coming. And they gave us a lot of reasons why to be skeptical and to be critical of the national leadership. And so I wondered, with that background, what would my experience be like as I would go to seminary in just 2 weeks to be a part of the Presbyterian Church? Well, there were large crowds, as you can imagine, everywhere in downtown Atlanta. There was a march the day before that went all up and down Peachtree Street, all to celebrate that historic assembly. And I remember there were people that had signs and protested, "Don't do it. No reunion," they said. And so that evening, I went to the opening of the General Assembly in 1983, the opening worship service. It was the longest I can remember, and the opening part alone was 30 minutes long. Imagine that, a 30-minute prelude. Can you imagine? And during that prelude, they had representatives from every presbytery in the nation come forward with a banner representing them, and they brought a chalice and they brought a loaf of bread to place on the communion table. There were representatives from almost every country around the world present to celebrate the reunion of the Presbyterian Church. And it happened that evening. There were 14,000 Presbyterians that were gathered at the World Congress Center to hear the Declaration of Reunion and to celebrate that after 122 years of separation. Finally, koinonia would take place that evening in the Presbyterian Church. Long waited for and prayed for. And there I was, and there was a whole cross-section of the church. There were people from different races and different cultures, different places, The atmosphere, however, I found was one of mutual respect, and it still is. It was an attitude of joy and gratitude, but there were also moments of humor, and there were moments of seriousness. I remember I didn't have a program. They had run out of programs, and so the man next to me put his program where I could see it so I could sing the hymns of faith as everyone sang together, holy, 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 like we sang today. I also remember they sang one of my favorites, Fairest Lord Jesus. And my point is, there I was at that huge conference center. It didn't look anything like a church. And I was there among people who were strangers to me, and I was a stranger to them. But that evening, in worship, koinonia, I experienced koinonia of all places at the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church. It was magical. And to this day, I remember that 40 years ago. And what I have learned is that when koinonia occurs in the the church is always present. And when that occurs, we are together with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are there in great fellowship. But when koinonia is absent, the church is missing. And so on this Sunday in which we come together to celebrate our God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like our youth are doing today in Montreat, we should always know the experience of koinonia and thereby discover who God is and the meaning of the church. Let us pray as we come to the Lord's table. O Lord, as we sing this very next hymn, may we sing out of gratitude and joy for your gift to us, your gift of Holy Spirit. And may we experience today the true meaning of the church, of koinonia, of fellowship with you and with one another. In Christ's name, amen.